Blog Talk Radio.
We pledge allegiance all our lives to the magic colors red, blue, and white. We all must be given the liberty that we defend. For we're just a thing, not for all men. History will repeat again.
I certainly am. Good evening, Blog Talk family. Good evening, Leslie.
Good evening. We're waiting for Mr. Salafu to call in. He should be calling any minute, but until then, we're going to play another song. Can you hold on for a little bit, Mr. Gordon?
I certainly can, and it's always a pleasure to be with you, Leslie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Every kind of people.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, 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 oh. Wake up, all the teachers, come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. But just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening.
And how are you? Is it Mr. Salufu? Am I pronouncing your last name properly?
Yes, Salufu is S-S-A-L-I-F as in Frank, U as in umbrella. Salufu.
Well, thank you for joining us on the Gist of Freedom. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
Me preface our discussion, if I may, by my belief through the work that I do all over the country with youth and teens, that there is a hole in too many of our children's souls, and there is a void in too many of our teenagers' lives. And I believe that that emanates because of the reality that they don't know the significance of African American history in terms of our contributions, not just here in the United States, but all over the world. And so it truly is an honor and a pleasure to have you with us tonight to talk a little bit about you and the work that you do through your museum.
Thank you.
And just so that our listening audience knows, we are again honored to have Mr. Hamza Salufu with us, who is usually referred to as the Encyclopedia Africana. He is the former host of the Best Little Known Black History Facts, a show that was hosted on Radio Universe in Ghana, and has interviewed most of the inventors featured on his website and the same inventors who are on display in the International Black Inventions Museum, which is a traveling museum. And so I want to talk with you a little bit more about that. And so today we're going to discuss black inventors of the past and present, such as Dr. Patricia Bass, the inventor of the cataract laser phacal probe, which is a medical instrument used to remove cataracts from the eye. And, of course, many of us know about Granville T. Woods, who is inventor of the synchronous multiplex railway telegraph, a device which enables moving trains to communicate with one another, helping to avoid potential accidents. And so I want to first, if I may, Mr. Salufu, let people know where they can get more information about your museum. You are online at ibim.com, and you're also on YouTube as well, if I'm not mistaken. So there are ways that people can learn more about the great work that you're doing, correct?
Yes, it's actually ibiminc.com.
Okay, ibim, what was that?
Inc.
imc.com. Okay, well, we're going to make sure that we put that out there. I'm sorry?
nascinancy.com.
Okay. We'll make sure that we put that out there before the end of our interview. So tell us a little bit more about your Black Inventions Museum.
Yes. We also want to thank you for the opportunity to be on your program to talk about this important issue. All you've said earlier, it is right, and I think we still have a lot to do. The museum is formerly the Black Inventions Museum and founded in 1988 by Lady Salah Shabazz, which was incorporated in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
And has since traveled to over 100 cities and to over 3 countries. And the museum became international in 1997, which promoted the positive images and self-esteem in children and adults, which also teaches people of different cultures and about
mm-hmm.
the contributions that black people have given to society.
Right, right.
The museum actually have 3 encounters. As you mentioned earlier, a past and a present, and also have what is called like in between or during the stark reality of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
There are still some black inventors out there which we haven't heard of, still helping in the progress of the society.
Mm-hmm.
In short, that's what the museum is about, and has traveled nationwide on educating people of different background about our contributions.
Wonderful. Now, let me ask you this. How many black inventors are, and you may not know the exact number, but give us a general idea of how many black inventors are part of your museum?
Well, actually, as part of our museum, it is it's over 500, actually.
500?
Yes.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And, you know, because I might have learned as many as 5 in school.
Yeah, you did mention Granville T. Woods. There are some inventors that are referred to as household names. Another inventor will be Madam C.J. Walker, another
mm-hmm.
household name. But
mm-hmm.
sometimes you will be very amazed if you go to some learning institutions, you realize we don't know about these people that some of us think should be known.
Right, right.
You see, so it's kind of, so I mean, you have to go back to teach all of that or to let people know about these inventors and then come back to the present.
Right. Now, your tour, I'm assuming that you travel throughout the United States?
Yes.
And people can find out when you will be in their particular town or city by visiting the website, or do you want to talk with us a little bit about the tour destination points?
Yes, they will find out where we're going to be. And people can also contact us or leave us the email contacts, and we will add them to our mailing list and keep them
mm-hmm.
posted.
Okay.
And by going to the IBIMINC.com.
Great. Okay. Well, we're going to make sure that we keep plugging that. And let me ask you this. When you go into our elementary and middle and primary schools and you bring this information to our children, what is their reaction to this? Because, again, when I talk about the fact that self-identity, which builds self-love, is absent in too many of our children and too many of our community, I would love to be a fly on the wall when you start letting these children know, letting these students know all of the wonderful, significant contributions that we have made all over the world. So can you share with our listening audience, if you'd be so kind, how children react when they learn that there are 500, and I would suspect there's 500 that you don't even have as part of your museum. There are another 500 inventors out there. But when they hear about these inventors, they must float with a great deal of pride.
Yes, it is very true. As I said earlier, the museum teaches both children and adults. And it is amazing. In most cases, people are very amazed. They're very shocked, surprised
mm-hmm.
to see on display a photograph of someone who looked like them, whom you say has invented this. They look at you twice.
Right.
The same thing
right.
applies to older people, too. I know in some cases
yep.
they look at me and say, are you sure? So just like you said, there has been some content that has been avoided from the, say, the African child life, which is very true because he's talking about a self-determination and being self-esteem or respect
mm-hmm.
of self-intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just like you mentioned, in most cases, it is missing.
Right.
See,
well, you know, and one of the things, I'm sorry for cutting you off, but I would suggest to you that one of the things that scares me is that there are so many within our community of adults who don't know about many of these inventors. You know.
And I'll give you one example. I was in Philly. That was last year. Which actually, we go to Philly every year to take part in the Black History Showcase. So I was there, and we did a whole a week program with the school district.
Mm-hmm.
Students come in and out. And that's part, a couple of students are writing down some info. And there was another stand-in. And I realized they were together. And I asked him to go help, you know, their friend to write. You know, he said, I don't do stuff like that. And I said, okay. And then he looked up to me and said, you know, everything is invented anyway. See, it can be true, but I mean, as far as I know, you know, and some of us know, it is not true because every day you turn on the TV, there is something new. As a matter of fact, I was very shocked myself to turn on the TV. I can't remember when exactly it is, but this has something to do with adjustable buttons on the pants. It didn't
mm-hmm.
really occur to me. So what I'm trying to say is this. Yeah, we can assume everything has been invented or is being invented. But every day you wake up in the morning, you're like, there's something new out there. You're like, wow, I thought this was invented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're still like in the learning process, and we definitely have a whole lot to learn.
Right.
And one of them that I say is this because I was in Baltimore, there's this 17-year-old student. After her school visited a manufacturing plant, she kind of had some doubts and like, wow, I have a lot of questions in her head because all recycling is done manually by hand. She can
mm-hmm.
understand why.
Mm-hmm.
So out of her curiosity and questioning herself, came up with a device that will automatically separate paper from plastic to wood. And she was 17.
Wow, that's
and
amazing.
She has a patent.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, see, there are some uninvented, like, for instance, we all know when the Statue of Liberty was restored. If we don't, when Reagan proposed for the restoration of the Statue of Liberty in 82, and actually started in 84 and completed in 86. You see, and the paint that was used to restore the Statue of Liberty was invented in 1981 by a black man by the name Morris B. Williams.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about some of the inventors that I mentioned on the opening of the show. One of them, as more of us know about, is Granville T. Woods, who invented the multiplex railway telegraph. But let's talk a little bit about Dr. Patricia Bath, because I haven't heard of her until now. And I want to, you know, I want to talk about some of the inventors who we may not be quite as familiar with. But let's start with Dr. Bath. Can you give us a little bit of background and her contributions?
Yeah, Dr. Bath, I will talk to her on a daily basis. Most of the inventors, as a matter of fact. Because that's another way that we verify info that we have, we put on display.
Mm-hmm.
If not, somebody may think that we just pick something from somewhere and just put on display, trying to make it look like a black man has invented something. You see, so that's why usually we'll have the pattern and the drawings of the invention and the photograph of the inventor, just to prove that these are authentic. Patricia Bath, yes, of course, was the first black woman at the UCLA Medical Center. Her invention came in 1988, and she has since has about four patents to her credit.
And many of these inventors have numerous patents, if I would suspect, correct?
Yeah, actually, yes. Most inventors will have more than one.
Right.
But out of the numerous inventions, maybe one or two will be spectacular.
Wow.
Okay, like well, for instance, like a Washington Carver, who's also another whole household name.
Right.
We all know of the peanuts. But besides the peanut, there are other inventions that he has invented, and he only has three patents, by the way.
Mm.
But he has over 100 inventions.
Wow. And now you said that you work with a lot of our present day inventors, inventors who are still alive. And how do they? What is their reception to you when you first approach them about the museum and about being a part of making sure that we share with our communities of children the significant contributions of our people and our inventors?
Yes, it is always a very warm. First, they will have to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes they want to know proof, which is fine. You know, we all go through it.
Right,
but
right.
Once they get to know, you say?
Right, I'm agreeing with you. We tend to be a little less trusting than we were at another point in our history.
Yes. Yes. So, but once they get to know of what someone is doing, okay, this is what he's doing, or this is what they are doing as an organization, they're like, okay, wow. So, and they will see some inventors made mention of, and places that a museum has been, then they'll begin to like, wow, I never know this. You know, they'll never know that because the museum is in existence and have been to these places. I mean, U.S. is a large country to cover. So somebody you go to some point, they're like, oh, well, I haven't heard of this before, you know.
Right.
It happens every time. So some inventors, they're like, and say, also what we do, if we have any display, so we identify local inventors. sometimes what they do is they do a walk among the audience, but the audience will know who they are. You see, so in some cases, I have to call him and say, you know, I need to talk to, I want you to talk to this person. And then he or she will explain, introduce him or herself, and they're like, oh, I never know it is you. You know, so sometimes we have this kind of reality appearance of some inventors based on where we are, if we can look at any local inventor.
Right.
You know, but in most cases, they are always unhappy and very welcoming, you know, offering to help more if they can do any.
So let me ask you this. I know that you did the show in Philly recently, and that you had the largest room, what was it, the Black Showcase event in Philadelphia?
Yes.
And so there really is great interest in more of our people, and again, hopefully our youth, knowing about the Black inventors and knowing about the work of the Black Inventions Museum, correct?
Yes, it is true.
And so when you go on tour, what is your typical route? Do you start on the East Coast and go to the West Coast, and do you hit all of the major cities?
It will depend if we have, a request to different cities. So we accept everything, and then what we'll do is sit back and then map out where to go first. We'll also let them know, okay, you know, potential, I mean, whom we refer to as sponsors. To let them know, okay, we can come to your location at this date instead of your date.
Right.
Or we look at it, okay, if they cannot adjust, I know some organizations or some individuals, based on what year, if it's Black History Month, some will think if they don't do anything during the month, they can't do anything in other months.
That's right. I tell children that Black History is every day, that they should be making Black History 365 days a year.
Yes.
So I can appreciate that.
Yes. So usually, so when we propose to them, okay, and say, okay, we suggest that this will be more effective. So they'll look at it, and you know, some will say yes. Some will say, if we can squeeze in, yes. So it will depend on how many requests we have to bring the museum to any particular location.
Well, you know, I would suggest, Mr. Salufu, that it's so important that, again, our children and our teenagers visit your museum, learn much more about the great work that you do in highlighting all of our inventors who, again, may not come to their classroom one of the days in February, Black History Month, if at all. And so it's so critical that we get this information to our children all over the country. I'm certainly going to go to your website, make sure that I sign up for your newsletter. Let's give everyone your website address again.
IBIMINC.com.
Okay. And I believe that you're also on, you have a channel on YouTube, if I'm not mistaken?
Not yet on YouTube, but I will on Facebook. We also have a blog.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do is certainly help to promote the great work of your museum. I have a nonprofit in Detroit. I'm starting one in Baltimore. And so make sure that you keep me posted as to when your museum will be visiting in those cities, those communities. And, I think if we do a better job of promoting the Black Inventions Museum, a lot more people would be a part of it. And so I'm very thankful.
Yeah, and I sure will keep you posted. Usually my suggestion is we have to go beyond what I refer to as the household name inventors because they are inventors on a daily basis. As a matter of fact, there's another inventor. I just have to mention this before the show ends. She invented this technology, you know, of the instant transmission of movie to cinema centers. Yes, it was invented by a woman who used to work for Boeing. Yes, and she is actually from Ghana.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm working with a group now that's going to be taking a group of youth teenagers from Baltimore, Maryland to Ghana to help build a school there. So I always talk about how the motherland and the United States and our people have to do a better job of connecting and supporting progress in both countries. So, you know, I'm always working in the motherland in some capacity, too. Now, let's tell people, you know, we have a little more time than I had expected. Yeah. This show is usually a half hour, but Leslie, my producer, has been gracious enough to allow us another 15 minutes, so I'm grateful for that. What I'd like to know is what can people expect when they come to your traveling museum? For instance, how many exhibits do you take with you? Are there the actual inventors there? What can they expect to see?
It is sometimes you don't know what to expect.
Okay.
Yes, and that is a fact. You don't know what to expect. When you walk in any display that we have, that is when you know what is going on.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, and is that simply because it changes so much based on who's available and what's available?
Yes, exactly. It does change it because some people have seen the museum, but because we... we keep adding. Sometimes, we don't want to even remove some inventors that we think have been in the museum for a long time because you go to a different location or even the same location, it's not going to be the same people who will be coming to see the museum. So sometimes you look at it and say, no, I don't want to take this out because they need to see this.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But then what we do, we keep adding new inventors. So you don't know what to expect. And when you come, you may see things that are controversial, but most of the time I'm at hand to answer some questions.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about maybe some of the newer inventors who are now a part of your museum or who you're now working with that we may not be as familiar with.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am still working on some inventors which I have. I know Lionel Johnson, he's not a new inventor, but he is developing another technology like a battery for cars.
Mm-hmm.
He's the inventor of the Super Soaker or the water gun. Not a new inventor. I didn't mention the instant digital transmission of movie to cinema centers by Mary Spiel. And also,
are you there, Mr. Salupu?
Yes.
Okay. And I also wanted to ask you, were you going to say something else?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there is also an inventor in Jersey. He was the vice president for the Advanced Technology Department of Lucent. He had over 20 inventions. And as a matter of fact, the modem we use for our internet, and by AT&T, he was responsible for it. And everything
computer. That's amazing. That's amazing. Talk with us a little bit about Donna Augustine. She's one of the female inventors that I noticed. Can you share a little more information about her?
Who?
Donna Augustine. Mr. Salupu, are you there?
Yes, come again, I'm sorry.
Donna Augustine. Mr. Salupu?
Yes.
Does that not ring a bell? Maybe that's not accurate information.
No. I just come again. You say Donna Augustine?
Donna Augustine?
Donna.
Donna?
Oh, Donna.
Donna Augustine.
Oh, yeah, Donna
Augustine.
Okay. She's the inventor of the palm and handheld device.
Wow. And so these are a lot of the modern technologies that our consumers here are now using, correct?
Yes, I mean we using a lot of inventions or technologies by people of African descent, and normally we don't really know who they are. I mean, we come in contact, every time. I was even talking to somebody the other day. I said, why don't you put a door stop when you're trying to, you know, take something out of your heart? He said, what is that? You know, and obviously a door stop was invented by a black man. So, I mean, that was a long-time invention. But then the modern technology, you know, talk about electorate and James E. West. And every device that transmits, like we're talking on a radio and also on a telephone and a microphone. So this all has something to do with a black genius, and by the name James E. West. Now, this technology, it is called electret, and that transmits voices. You see, this is all modern technology inventions that we use on a daily basis, and then we'll know. I mean, all on the cell phones, every time we use the microphones, sometimes you wonder, wow, who invented this?
You know. That's amazing. That's truly amazing. Yeah. I'm very impressed, and I'm very uplifted in spirit, simply knowing that there are so many black inventors, and they are responsible for so many contributions to today's society. I think that's wonderful. Now, when you go on tour, do you stay in a particular city for a multi-days, more than one day, or are you typically just there for one day? And can we tell our listeners when you plan to be in the next few months, where you plan to be in the next few months?
In the next few months, we don't have any event coming up.
Okay.
What is? To your first question, usually it depends. We sometimes will be in one city for about a week. Yeah, so depending on number of days requested. And then if we do have a whole lot of requests, then we try to devise a way of making things happen in a more effective way. So mostly we'll be in the city for about a couple of days maximum.
I see. So are you working with the school systems in any of our cities? Because, I mean, again, this is so incredibly important to get this information to our students and get them to our young people so they know, you know, not only our contributions as a people, but they know that they, too, can, you know, be inventors and they, too, can be creators of wonderful things.
Yes, we are working with every city, but it does take time. In Philly, we have very good with the Black History Showcase. And sometimes it depends because last year we did it just for the schools. Sometimes we just do it for the public. Sometimes just for the schools. And also back in Los Angeles, you know, have a very good working relationship with the school district and some schools in particular.
That's
from,
great.
From middle to university levels. So in some
cases,
you know, we're making contacts. But like I said, it takes time. You know, we have to go in there. So once we establish that contact, you know, we can always go in there in and out.
Have you been to Detroit? Because I've been working out of Detroit since 1986, and I've never heard of your museum. And you're talking about a city that is 80% African-American. And so have you ever visited Detroit with your museum?
Sometimes, yes. Actually, there is what we're trying to do also is multiply the museum in some states. That way, we will reduce the cost of going to some of these cities and states. So as a matter of fact, we in the process of making another set of this museum, which we're going to live in Philly. And also one is going to be in Houston and leaving one in Jersey.
Oh, great, great. Well, I'm glad that the museum.
Yeah, we're just doing this because it can be a little expensive to ship the museum around back and forth.
Right, right.
Yeah, so
now, have you ever considered Well, I have two questions. One of them is, how, what is the reaction from non-African Americans, from people of other colors and cultures? Because I would suggest that they're just as impressed by all of these wonderful contributions by our people.
Yes, they are more than impressed. As a matter of fact, I used to think an Asians pay more attention than Africans. Yes, and that's because we go to places and Asians will be on their knees calling, writing down stuff. You know, and it is sometimes, I look at it, I say, wow, Asians pay more attention. So, I mean, us, to answer your question, non-Africans, yes, they do pay attention, and they are very shocked and amazed to see a thing invented by black people. Because it is something that they can't really deny, because we have every proof and all evidence to prove it. So they are very amazed and shocked. But I think a lot, I think an Asians pay the most attention.
Well, you know, I would suggest that Asia is responsible for most of the technology that ultimately comes to the United States at some point. And, you know, I know that a lot of times the technology products that are already in Asia won't get to the United States until 3 or 5 years later.
Yes, that is true. But also, that is a research that I'm doing into an invention. Now, most people that I will ask about that, they will give me a very obvious answer.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually I ask, which a company invented the CD player
mm-hmm.
or came out with a CD player?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the very obvious answer I had is Sony. You see. But I had a call from a lady who said that her husband invented what is called a laser playing record. At today's CD player. So what happened, so I'm doing research into that. So, but I mean, just to say a little bit of what I've gathered, and based mm-hmm. on what she said. So one time, she, the husband, he went to Japan because when Sony came out with a CD player, but obviously he said his invention was stolen. Now he went mm-hmm. there with his attorney to sue Sony. But I see that to be very impossible. But as you mentioned, technology or some invention will come out of an Asia. It is very true. But also, it is like a copyright. Some of these inventions are stolen. Is it people
right.
People steal some of these inventions? Just like in the case of this brother, and he couldn't sue Sony because there's no way he can sue Sony. You can sue him, but you're not going to win.
Right, you'd be stuck in court forever, right. Well, you know, we only have about 2 minutes left, Mr. Slufu, and what I'd like to ask you, because I think it's so important that we begin to inspire the next generation and generations of young inventors, and I'd like to know if you are involved with any programs or any organizations who are encouraging our young brothers and sisters to be inventors, to be the next, you know, the next Madam C.J. Walkers, and to be the next George Washington Carvers.
Yes, there are some couple of inventions, programs in Los Angeles area. Sometimes we do go to a Houston area who might have some personal friends who are inventors. And also working with some community centers, both in the LA area and also in Houston and also in Philly and Chico State University in California. They do have some programs. So what we do to go, you know, sometimes with the invention on display, with the museum on display,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes I work out to either give a presentation to inspire young folks coming up. Because usually we try to have the museum on display because when people see these inventors, you know,
right.
they are really inspired. So whatever you say, I can point to a particular inventor and say, go and have a close look at this inventor. You can be like him or her.
Right. Okay, well, we have to wrap up the show. I'm sorry that we've run out of time. But I'd like to know, firstly, where can people see you next? Where are you going? Where is your next tour date? And where is your next tour destination?
Yes, actually, presently, we have no event coming up. What we did is that we had canceled some events that we were supposed to have later this year. But next year, for sure, they can always check us out online. Black History Month, definitely, and down the line, because that time we would have completed the other duplicates that we're doing, which will be shipped to the cities that I mentioned earlier.
Great. And again, let's tell people where they can get more information about the great work that you're doing with the Black Inventors Museum. How can they get more information about that?
Yeah, they can simply just go to the museum, to the website, ibiminc.com. That's the initials. Or they want to type along don't mind typing, they can just go to iblackinventionsmuseum.com. If they can't find any information that they're looking for, they can just send us any question, and then I will be more than happy to respond or an answer.
Well, again, thank you so much for being a wonderful guest on tonight's show. I've learned a lot. You will be hearing from me. Again, my name is R. Lee Gordon. I have the pleasure of hosting this show. I'm with the National Black Teen Empowerment Expo. I want to look at how we can work together to create the next generation of Black inventors. Thank you again for being with us, and be blessed.
And thank you again, too, for the opportunity.
You believe in freedom, cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. That which touches me most is that I had a chance to work with people, passing on to others that which was passed on to me. They have the courage where we fail. And if I can but shed some light as they carry us through the gate.